Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dream Factory. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. Every episode we can read out and discuss as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one film idea will qualify for the next stage, where it'll be shredded into tiny confetti and spread across Britain's larger roads and public transport infrastructure. And do you know why, John? Because our humour is so dry.
What?
It's so dry that it will stop the wetness that comes from snow.
Great.
Our humour is so dry and wry that we're better than salt.
I don't think I can do dry and wry.
I'm Joel, a man who puts the sacks in transaction. Don't check it. And across from me is John Harris, a man who has never eaten an entire pie. Instead, he carries around his own personal metal straw, ergonomically shaped to fit his dainty French hands, and sticks it into pie crust and drinks the filling, leaving the pie crust entirely encased.
Yeah.
And that's fine, you know, that's a way to eat a pie. But what's really a disgrace is that sometimes someone will have a pie out on a shelf and you'll drink the entire insides and walk away. And they won't know until they go and cut that pie for dinner. It's completely empty.
The perfect crime, I think you'll find.
Yeah. You're a criminal.
You're a wanted man.
You're a wanted man.
I was in The Wanted and I'm a man.
Who was in The Wanted? No one knows anymore.
Exactly. So we can start that.
We can all claim to have been in The Wanted. Just got my hair cut, thanks for noticing.
Yeah, cool. Different hair. Another
shorter
sweatshirt,
hair,
though.
Shorter hair and another sweatshirt. Shorter hair, another sweatshirt. I had that thought I always have in the hairdressers, which we've covered before, but a long time ago. So new listeners won't know that every time I have a haircut, I worry that my hairdresser's going to die midway through.
Yeah, you think?
And the point at which I worried about it this time, I was looking a lot like Jimmy Neutron.
That's a shame. I'm not wishing death on your hairdresser.
Or maybe just like a illness. I don't know what I was thinking today. If she threw up on my back, what would happen? Would they wash off my back in that sink, and then someone else would cut it, or would they shut the shop? It's difficult to know, isn't it?
Shut the shop, mate. Let's.
Is Barbicide good on vomit? Who knows?
This one's from Johnny. In Bruges, two assassins are sent to Northern England.
Where?
Northern England.
In Bruges.
Bruges.
Oh, like a
brew,
cup of tea.
Like having a brew.
Oh, there's not a place in Northern England called Bruges. Oh, good. And they just have cups of tea on the run. I've seen In Bruges twice and I can't remember anything about it. But people really like it.
It's a great film.
Is it?
Yeah.
So the plot of In Bruges is a guy did a bad thing and he goes to Bruges to hide. Does that ever explain why?
There's two assassins sent to
Bruges
to do a thing, and it transpires that one of them did a bad thing.
Oh yeah, and he keeps thinking about it.
Yeah,
because when you do a bad thing, you never stop thinking about it, I imagine.
Because as two men who have never done a bad thing, we just...
Well, have you seen the reviews for this podcast?
Throw me into the sea.
Here's one from Martin. Welcome to Merlin. Arthur and the Round Table never actually existed and aren't part of history, and they're in fact the creation of Merlin the Wizard's imagination.
Oh, I like that.
But he's not a real wizard. He just thinks he's a wizard in charge of all of these little folk that are made out of maybe plasticine.
You don't want to be too similar to Welcome to Marwen.
What are they made out of in Marwen? Plastic scene. Is that where the word plasticine comes from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Welcome to Marwen, they're like action figures. They're like Action Man or G.I. Joe, as the Americans would have.
Oh, yeah, they like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Whereas here, they're made of plasticine. Arthur's Round Table, Lancelot. Can you name any of the other knights?
sir not appearing in this film is that's the Monty Python.
Who?
Have you, in the Holy Grail, they go, Sir Lancelot, Sir da da da, and then Sir not appearing in this film, and it's a picture of a baby in a knight's outfit.
Oh, that's fun.
It's a bit of fun.
It's just a bit of fun. They were good for bits of fun.
I mean, that's our pool quote for the DVD cover of the Holy Grail.
Good for bits of fun. Dream Factory. 3 stars.
When you said welcome to Merlin, I was thinking, is this some sort of advert for the collection of theme parks in the UK
also
under
very
the
good.
Bracket
also
Merlin?
Also very good. What's your favourite of the
Thor
Merlin
Park, Chessington.
Do you know what I'm a big fan of? The Merlin park's fine. Take them or leave them.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the second tier theme parks of the UK. Drayton Manor, for example. I love those guys. They're such, you just imagine them as like plucky little upstarts. Just getting by. Terrible roller coasters that people, I imagine, die on regularly.
Yeah.
There was one in Margate that was called Dreamland, which is now a gig venue, and it's reopened as a theme park. And the story when I was a kid, now this, I don't know if this is libelous, but the story was that there was a looping star roller coaster that did one loop. The story was that it went up, got stuck, and someone fell out at the top upside down.
No.
Now that's just a story. I'm not saying it's fact, but a lot of kids believed it. And the theme park did shut down. It also had, and still has, the world's oldest roller coaster, I think, made entirely of wood.
I'm not happy about that.
It's a different. The rules are different in Kent.
Yeah.
You can basically, you know, do what you like.
And the rules are different if the theme park moves, apparently. You have
a fun
place fair.
Oh, a fun fair.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a really harrowing experience in a fun fair once.
Oh, gosh.
It was called this. I remember it so well. I was probably about 10. I would have been 10 because I'd just come out of my cast for my left arm, which had broken.
Great context.
The listeners are wondering, which point in Joel's life story was it? If they've got the book, they'll know.
Turn to chapter 4.
Anyway, I was in the Sidewinder, and it was individual cars on like 8 or 10 arms that stuck out right up in the air. So great big beam going upwards, and then almost like, if you imagine a Catherine Wheel firework, like that, with a different arm box on the end of each arm, and you sat in a 2 back to back in each box.
Yeah.
With the classic harness over the shoulders. I started going around. That just came up. The harness just came up and we were just rattling around in the box. It was absolutely horrifying. So you'd like hit one side of this little metal wall and then it would swoop back around and you'd fly to the other side.
So
it's really terrifying.
One time I was in a Spanish theme park called PortAventura and I was with a guy called Phil, and it was the clamp down harness thing you're talking, the U-shape, goes over your center, your mid-drift.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's going down, he just goes, uh-oh. And I turn around and look at him. His arm's in the middle of the U. So like, he's kind of like...
What? So he's just clinging on by his arm?
He's kind of in the... No, well, I mean, it's still clamping on his mid-drift and stuff.
Oh,
he's
okay. I thought just his arm was through it.
No.
That would be terrifying.
So he's essentially, it's like he's clamping onto one side, but it's still holding him down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he looks, and the whole way he's like, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to, I can't stop this happening. And we do the whole roller coaster and he's broadly fine. But my favorite bit was as we go out, we go past the photo thing and we see the photo of us. And he has the audacity to turn to me and go, John, you look so stupid in that picture.
2 more theme park stories. Number one, I had a similar thing with the clamping in stuff at Thorpe Park once. It was the ride where you sit in it. You know the one?
Yeah.
It's one of the 2 that are on the left when you go in that aren't a roller coaster, like Vortex, and there's another one. And you sit in a long line and you sort of swing back and you almost go upside down, but you don't go all the way upside down. Yeah. It's a big swing. And all you have is a little bar across your waist, nothing on the shoulders, which is frightening in of itself because you just sort of lean forward and there's nothing holding you back. And a guy came and sat next to me and he was a larger gentleman. He's a pretty big guy and he couldn't get the thing to clamp down. And so 3 members of staff had to come and readjust it and take it out to its absolute optimum, like furthest it would go out, and it just about hung on. And I spent the entire ride terrified because it was not fit for purpose. And he was just, you could see his knuckles white where he was just holding himself into the ride.
Oh my God.
Horrifying. Horrifying. I was just convinced at any moment he was going to fall out. Second theme park story. I was at one of these aforementioned second tier, actually no, this is more sort of 3rd or 4th tier.
Wow.
Theme park in Essex. It would have been near Clacton-on-Sea. And I was absolutely going for it. I was having a big kid's day out, right? I'm talking ride donuts, ride some sort of french fry, ride slush puppy.
I thought donuts was a type of ride at first.
No, so I've gone on a ride, then I have 10 donuts that you get at theme parks, you know, the hot fresh donuts.
Yeah.
Then I go on a ride and then I eat some chips. Then I go on a ride and then I have a big slush puppy. And I'm on the chair swing at one point, yeah. Then I come off and then I have my big slush puppy. I probably did like a liter of bright blue slush puppy.
Good.
And then I'm on this next ride, and as I remember it, it's a pretty rubbish ride, but you just sit again in a big line and there's like rows and rows of you and you just sort of jut up and down like quite vigorously. And I mean, there was a tornado brewing in my stomach.
Yeah.
And I just started vomiting. Bright blue slush puppy vomit. Everything was bright blue. Just fucking tons of the stuff. And I was throwing it all over myself, on the person in the row in front, on the people to the left and right of me. And my sister would have been about, she was about four seats away. I don't think we had, and there weren't mutual friends in between. And she just started screaming and crying and just going, stop the ride! Somebody, God, stop the ride! As I was just like, this bright blue stuff was just like flying out of me all over the place.
Very exciting.
And then my nan took me into the ladies' toilets, undressed me and cleaned it all up. I was 19.
This one's from Stuart. In a post-apocalyptic world where temperatures soar, will you be brave enough to venture to the only place you can chill? The hills have ice.
Ice.
The hills have ice because it's a hot post-apocalyptic world. The hills.
That's good.
So like you're going. It's like a, and the message is an environmental one.
Oh, clever.
And this is me now talking, not Stuart, just for the record. And yeah, it's got a great message. And a family live on top of a mountain and recycle.
That's good.
Thanks, mate.
More recycling on this podcast, I think. Well, yeah. We fucking recycle some of the ideas. how about this one from Tom, who is now, I think, a fully fledged friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
He's contributed for a number of weeks. I mean, he is actually a friend of mine from childhood, but this is the only way we communicate anymore,
yeah,
really.
Good.
He's gone for Raging Hole, which he said, it works as a pun if you say it in a northern accent, like Raging Bull, but I don't know if it does. Raging Hole.
Nope, not having it.
So Raging Bull is about a boxer.
Yeah.
What do you know about Hull?
It's a city. I don't know much about Hull. I am ignorant.
It's a European city of culture.
Yeah.
So maybe the rage in this is some sort of interpretive dance.
Or maybe like the hardworking people of Hull are annoyed that all these like floozies have suddenly shown up and put art exhibits and stuff around their city because of
apparently
it.
The floozy count in Hull has gone through the roof.
Yeah.
You can't move for floozies up there now.
I don't know what
I've actually not noticed many floozies in London anymore.
They've all migrated
to Hull. You can't, the thing about a floozy is you can't tie them down. They go wherever the culture is. And at the moment, it's all in Hull.
So many think pieces about the great floozy migration.
So you think there's lots of good, salt of the earth, hardworking people in Hull. And they've popped out one day to get a pint of milk. And it's a cat cafe now.
Yeah.
And they're like, these fucking floozies.
Yeah.
And there's like a floozy versus salt of the earth war. It turns out in the end, they got more in common than they realised.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Everyone's a human. Just to say, they go out for a milk. And the thing that they realise is they get to the counter of the shop and they only have alternative milks.
Hey, alternative milk's going to become so popular that milk's going to become an alternative milk.
Hey.
That's my hot take. It's one of my hot takes. That's why you listen to the podcast for some sort of Joe Rogan smoking weed with Elon Musk expose. Mine is milk will be the alternative milk in 17 years.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What about this one from Barack? I like this one a lot because essentially they've given us...
Is that Obama?
No, it's B-U-R-A-K.
Okay.
Someone actually fights 100 duck-sized horses and a horse-sized duck.
Oh, good. Like, cause
it's like the final act rather than the title of the film.
They always ask that question. I'd like that as a title for a film. Because that's a question you get asked in a lot of job interviews, right?
Yeah.
Would you rather fight a horse? And the answer is the small things because you can just kick them.
100 though, mate. I feel like this is well tread territory.
Yeah, right? It depends how they come at you. If you're in a hallway, look, bear with me for a second. Yeah. If you're in a hallway and they're coming towards you just down a hallway,
yeah,
I'm going to kick them back all day long. No dramas. I don't care if they scream, if they shriek, I'll just keep kicking them. Keep kicking them. I don't care. I'll watch them die. Just watch them crumple and break their bones.
But how big is this hallway if it's going to allow for a horse-sized duck?
No, no, because I haven't picked the horse-sized duck.
Oh, so the venue is based on the...
Of course, absolutely, of course. Whereas, if it was 100 duck-sized horse...
No, just one...
Horse-sized ducks.
Yeah.
And I was in a courtyard with maybe...
One?
Four plus entrances. Yeah. And they're coming from all different angles. It'd be tougher. It'd be harder. I'm not saying I wouldn't win. But the horse-sized duck...
Yeah.
Terrifying. You'd sort of think it was the end of days if you saw that. Although, a plague of duck-sized horses, you could also... They'd be quite cute as well.
Maybe you could train them.
Oh,
hello.
That's good.
Here we go.
And are they... So one horsepower is one horse. I wonder how many 100... It's probably like a couple of horsepower. So you could get them to pull sort of a sled.
What, like... I assume in this film, like some sort of scientist...
Big time.
Is it like The Fly and he puts 100 ducks in one side and a horse in the other?
That's good.
And they switch and that's what happens.
Yeah, nice.
And then
which brain does it have?
Oh, very good question. If someone presented you two ducks and said one of these has the brain of a horse, would you be able to tell straight away?
Yeah, well, what I'd do is I'd hold out a slice of bread in one hand and a sugar lump in the other and see which it went for. That's what they eat. Isn't it?
You don't think a duck would go for some sugar if it was offered it? Maybe he's never been offered sugar before.
No, it wouldn't. I don't know what the duck's tongue situation is, but I can't imagine it would lick up a sugar lump. Whereas it would just go peck, 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 peck on a lovely little slice of bread. And also, I'm actually giving it a slice of Mighty White, which has probably got more sugar in than a bloody sugar lump, all right? This isn't some sort of five-seed whole grain situation.
I like the idea that you say the film is actually called Someone Actually Fights 100 Duck-Sized Horses and a Horse-Sized Duck. I've just realised this isn't a question about it. This scientist has to fight both. And I think that it's called this and it's an hour and a half about how it happens. And then the final sequence is just the scientist running at them. Fade to black. Just like livid audiences everywhere.
Wait for the sequel.
Yeah. Apparently there was...
The sequel actually takes place 5 years after the event as well. You never see it.
I'm pretty sure that I haven't seen it myself, but that isn't that the plot of one of the Liam Neeson films where he's supposed to fight a wolf in the snow?
Isn't it lots of wolves? Grey Man.
The Grey. I think it's The Grey.
Are you sure it's not called Grey Man?
Grey Man.
We don't know. We've got no access to the internet here.
Yeah, so we'll have to assume.
It's either called The Grey or it's called Grey Man.
Or The Grey Man.
It could be The Grey Man.
And I'm 90% sure, once again, no access to the internet to verify this. The whole film is just teasing that fight, and then the final shot is him running towards the wolf.
That's fun.
Which is in the trailer.
That's a bit of fun.
What about this one from Anthony? Tron flew over the cuckoo's nest. I'm a big fan of that.
That is good, because Tron does seem like it could be something that would happen inside the mind of a patient from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Ooh,
how about that?
Nice.
It's pretty deep.
Yeah. I like that, and it's like...
What about John flew over the cuckoo's nest?
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's just you in a hot air balloon.
Me in a padded white room.
Hang on.
For the listener, we are literally in a padded white room.
We're literally in a padded white room. I've never realised that before. Why has this room been designed to look like it's...
I have no idea.
Some sort of asylum.
My bedroom.
Yeah. Why do you do this? Why is that door only locked from the outside?
I would say, is it fun? Like, is it this guy in an asylum? He's imagining Tron and everyone says that he's crazy, but we as a listener know the film Tron happened.
Yeah, we know Tron's real.
He's sent to an asylum because
he knows about Tron. He's like, I went into an arcade machine. No, you didn't. No one goes into arcade machine. I did. Tron. Oh, yeah, get in the padded cell. Record your podcast.
or he just knows about the film Tron, and that's enough. But no one
knows about the film Tron.
Yeah.
Okay, good, yeah. I think it was a pretty major release. Maybe he's in like a country that refused to broadcast it, like Borneo. Borneo didn't broadcast Tron.
Famously, and we haven't got the internet to verify
no,
that.
No.
So we'll have to assume that's a fact.
This is good, isn't it? Because we live in a world of post-facts now, you can basically just say anything. They didn't show Tron in Borneo. Why? Didn't like it. You going to check that? Don't. If you check it, what you read, that's not true. What I say, that's true.
If we were a powerful enough podcast to have listeners that were
actually get banned from Borneo.
Or just at least change the Wikipedia and IMDb's to claim that in the trivia section.
No one in Borneo. The nation of Borneo denies the existence of Tron.
And we make it so convincing that then we...
But weirdly, they had the sequel.
We set up a Kickstarter to get the film Tron to Borneo.
Brilliant.
Do a big promo.
We try and sneak it in. We smuggle the film Tron into one copy on DVD into Borneo.
The twist being that they don't give a shit.
No one cares. They're like, that film's 30 years old. We just don't talk about it because it's an old film. Like, guys, Tron.
And now it's time for our weekly segment, Pip-a-da-Pips.
You said that I was being too mean about Pip on this podcast because he's actually done a lot to help us out in the past.
He's a lovely man and he's
I really like him, but the thing about recording a podcast in a room like this is that you don't fear anyone when you're recording. Some of the stuff you have to edit out.
Yeah.
Some of the things I just said about the people of Borneo that you would have edited out.
Yeah. I realised the other day that you've made two quite serious allegations against him. One you said last week about where he sent us, where he put the suggestions on his torso.
Yeah.
Not torso.
No, that's if...
Somewhere else.
I mean, it's not that big.
The other one, which I think is much worse, was the allegation immediately after he left the studio to record with us that his beard was fake and he stuck it against the wall.
I stand by that. Because it never rustles on mic, does it? You've got to wonder. You've got...
We don't have to wonder because we were there to witness it.
Mm, that's what I'm saying.
Bird boxing.
Oh, just fighting each other. Little sparrows.
I'm imagining like Looney Tunes style animation birds, if that helps.
That really does help.
And they've got big arms and an anchor tattooed.
It's just cockfighting, which I imagine happens where Pip's from still. Do you know what? There's a weird Kent versus...
I don't know what's happening here. I don't like this allegation.
No, Stanford, there's a weird Kent versus Essex rivalry.
But I haven't got the internet to disprove you.
So I'm from Kent and Pip's from Essex.
Yeah.
And there is a rivalry that exists between the two counties. And the rivalry seems to be built on the fact that both deny that they're essentially identical. In terms of places, everyone else's opinion of them in the rest of the UK, they don't care. They're basically the same place.
In my head, Kent's posher.
No, but there's posh. That's what you think. But there's posh parts of Essex,
yeah,
where the cockfighting doesn't happen.
Well,
all I'm saying is that it's probably some sort of. I'm imagining Pip probably attends. Maybe doesn't compete in some sort of illegal cockfighting ring.
Again, I haven't got the internet, and he cannot refute that because we're in a padded room.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he has the right to response on his podcast.
Yeah, he does.
I'd love it next week. Now, before I start interview with Richard E. Grant.
Yeah, there's been a few allegations thrown around recently. I say, send me a video of you tugging on your beard. Send me a video of you tugging on your penis. Send me a video of you not at a cockfight.
You can do that all at once.
He could. We need to film it from quite far out, I imagine. Shall we do our own film ideas?
Please, can we do
them? Here's mine from me.
Cool.
Can you ever forgive meme? What happens, John, is I do a meme of you, maybe on TikTok or somewhere, and it's really insulting, and it goes viral. It's absolutely enormous, and people start recognising you in the street. And I say, John, can you ever forgive meme for making such a horrible meme?
I like the idea that you do it against Pip.
Good. Okay. I'm willing to just really crack on with this beef and see where it goes. And maybe a rap
just
battle.
Just a one-way beef.
One-way, yeah. What is a one-way beef?
Don't know.
Well, this is it.
Veal.
Yeah. I eventually he'll get to a point where he's so frustrated he'll come for me.
You think?
Yeah, in the night.
Or he'll just send you a text saying, mate, this is embarrassing.
Yeah, please. Or just a cease and desist. He'll get his lawyers to get in touch with me about the beard thing. Which one do you think he'd be most protective of all the allegations? The fact that he runs an illegal cockfighting ring? The fact that his beard isn't real?
Yeah.
Or that he sends lewd pictures to podcasters?
That he corresponds with
podcasts. It's the beard thing, isn't it? It's the beard thing.
I think so. Mm. How about this one from me? Carry on, my wayward son. That's my favourite one. When I wrote that, I was so happy with myself.
That's so good. That's it. That's done. We've finished the podcast. 79 weeks. Thanks, everyone. It's been a wild ride. That's it. We've reached the summit. the summit of Mount Dream.
Innuendo-laden rock biopic featuring the music of Kansas.
Yeah, we didn't need to know. We know. We absolutely know. It's brilliant. Barbara Windsor, just full-on stadium rock. Yeah.
And then a top pops open. I think that's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't say I've seen much.
I've never seen a
carry-on
film.
Yeah. I just
carry on up the Khyber. Carry on screaming.
There's plenty of them.
Keep calm and carry on. That's brilliant, mate. I mean, there's not really much we can do with it because I don't know much about the music of Kansas or their story. No. And neither of us seen a carry on film, but bloody hell, what a title.
Thank you. We'll get it sold on title alone and then we'll get someone else to write it for us.
That's how all the best film guys do it.
The film guys.
Anyway, we know it's the end of the show because there's a knock, knock, knock at the studio door, and entering the studio is the band Kansas.
Yes!
To record, I don't know, a new song for the film we've written for them. Ah, John.
Hello, mate.
79 consecutive weeks.
79. A good number, I'd say. One of my favourite numbers.
Good year.
Oh, fine.
A lot happened in 79.
Did it?
2 years after the Silver Jubilee.
Yeah, any football knowledge? People were still talking
about it. From 79?
Yeah.
Football didn't exist then, mate.
No way.
Not until the Premier League.
Is it pre-football?
It's pre-football, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
1979.
That's interesting. And so when football was invented...
The swinging 70s.
When football was invented in 1980, they all made an agreement to pretend that it had been happening for hundreds of years before.
Yeah, and they've made a fake history for it and stuff.
We never won the World Cup. That was just agreed by some people in a boardroom.
I'm really ill.
You did all right then. You
did quite well.
A good 25 minutes.
My throat is shredded to bits. I've really been doing the night nurse. If night nurse want to get involved in this podcast, please do. You shouldn't drink it for more than 3 nights. I'm at 4. So who knows what happens tonight.
Ooh, big night, mate.
Night nurse.
All right, let's go home.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.